The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I've started just to really try to interrupt myself. I mean, my thoughts can start going a million miles a minute. Well, what if this, and then what if that, and then what if this, and what if that? I have to say to myself, like, no, stop.
Like, just stop.
Pause, yes. And ask God, God, what do you think about that?
Yeah.
Katie Davis Majors teaches us how to start trading our fears and anxieties for God's unshakable peace. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy's with me. Great to have you with me. And Katie Davis Majors is back with us. Great to see you.
Thank you.
And by the way, if you missed the program with her, the first one, you can go to lifetoday.org, see all of our programs. So great one to catch up on. And I said that there were 9 practical things that you wanted to talk about, and I missed one, didn't I?
There are 10 practical things.
Even better. We're more excited.
More.
Okay. So the book Safe All Along. You talked about on the last program dealing with a lot of personal anxiety, even as you're going to the ends of the earth to follow God's call on your life. None of us are immune from this. This is something you've learned that we all have things that stress us out, that make us anxious.
Yes, absolutely. And I had so many people, even as I was releasing this book, say to me, like, anxious? You don't seem like an anxious person. And I'm like, oh, if only you knew, like, the inner workings of my mind. But truly, none of us are immune from it. And we had had a really difficult season as a family. We had had a loved one who had a really hard diagnosis that left my husband and I traveling back and forth between Uganda and the States a lot. And then we had COVID and the world kind of shut down. And that brought its own set of hardships, but all of those things really increased my anxiety. And then, while I was in the middle of writing this book, our family actually unexpectedly made the move from Uganda to the U.S. My husband and I had lived overseas for over 15 years, and so we were thrown into this culture and this pace of life that was so different than anything I had known in my adult life, anything I'd ever known as a mother or a wife. And again, it was just all so anxiety-provoking. And so I just began asking God, would you teach me, would you show me, like, God, I know that Jesus said to his disciples that he was leaving them with peace. I know that Jesus says to us, do not be anxious. But it's, like, easier said than done, right? You're like, trust me, if I could stop being anxious, I really would. And so I feel like God just was so gracious and so kind to kind of take me on this journey of learning what it looks like to live more deeply in his peace. And he's given me these 10 practices that I write about in the book Safe All Along, and just of how I am learning to practice his peace in my everyday life.
Love it. So, Randy, I'm going to sneak a peek. He's written down some of those, what they are. And I want to ask you about that. I'm going to steal this from you, Randy.
That's okay. I got them right here.
Do you have them right there? You're amazing that way. Spending time in the Word. I mean, some of these things you think, gosh, we should just do this as a practice, as believers and followers of Christ. But sometimes we just don't. So why is it so important to spend time in the Word of God?
Yeah.
To fight off anxiety.
And you're right. I mean, some of these are things that we think are just like, okay, of course, that's so simple. But really, I notice my own temptation, the more anxious I am, a lot of times it's busyness that is increasing my anxiety. And the more anxious I am and the busier I am, the more I feel like, oh, I just don't have time to spend time in God's Word today. Or like, oh, I'll skip over it for now and maybe I'll come back to it later. Like, I need to jump in and get things done. But when I'm not doing things out of God's peace and love, when I'm not filling up with him first, then I'm not doing things in a way that is going to impact eternity. And so if I want to be doing things out of the Spirit of God and with his love and care for the people around me, I've got to be with him first, right? And so the first thing I do anytime I have a quiet moment, or the first thing I used to do, I should say, anytime I have a quiet moment, you know, I jump in my car, or I have a few minutes before the kids get home from school. I want to pick up my phone and call my best friend. And we, you know, we have a standing rule that, like, you just hang up when you need to hang up. Like, we don't say goodbye. Sometimes I leave her over there talking while I go over here. But really, I just started thinking, like, what about if my relationship with God looked like that? What if I was spending these long chunks of time in His Word, and I was memorizing His Word, and then in all the middle minutes of my day and all the pockets where I have a little time to pick up my phone and scroll, or pick up my phone and call someone, what if instead I started talking to God and I could spend time hearing His voice? But I can only hear His voice and know what He says to me if I've spent time reading what He actually says. And so the first two practices are spending time in His Word and then spending time in prayer. And they really go hand in hand, because the more time I spend learning and knowing His truth in Scripture, the more readily it comes to my mind when I am talking to God, when I am bringing my cares and my concerns to Him. And so I've started just to really try to interrupt myself. I mean, my thoughts can start going a million miles a minute. Well, what if this, and then what if that, and then what if this, and what if that? And I'll find myself, you know, spending time solving a problem that I don't even have yet because I've imagined that I might have it in the future. And so I have to say to myself, like, no, stop.
Like, just stop.
Pause and ask God, God, what do you think about that?
Yeah.
Or what do you have to say to me about that? Or, hey, God, are you worried about this? And guess what? He isn't.
Exactly.
And so that has been, you know, it sounds just so simple to say out loud, but that has really, really transformed my thought life, to be able to intercept my thoughts and speak to God about them.
Yes.
And then also to have Scripture that I have stored away in my memory, because it's not just that we have to stop the anxious thought, right? If I stop the anxious thought but don't replace it with anything else, it comes right back. So I have to stop the anxious thought and I have to replace it with something else. And so I replace it with something that I've memorized. Maybe it's a worship song. Yeah. Maybe it's a passage of Scripture. I love the Psalms. So I love to memorize the Psalms and just start saying them to myself when I feel my anxious thoughts start to spiral, to fill my heart and my mind with something else.
Katie, I know that seems so simple to you, but it's powerful because I think the enemy is constantly at work to steal our thoughts, to keep us worrying, to keep us filled with anxiety, and to add to that. And if we get away from the voice of God in the simplicity of stop, just stop and pause, get into the Word, get into the presence of God, talk with Jesus about it. I think His voice wants to be louder than any other voice in our life. So I think we have to just stop. So it sounds simple, but it's a powerful revelation for some people. Just say, stop. Just stop the voices right now and get away from all of it and spend time with Jesus. Just having conversation, even just, God, I'm struggling right now with this. How can you help me navigate through this? Just in the peace and the stillness of your presence right now. You also talk about being in, like, praising through the storm, praising through the difficulty. I think pushing back the darkness in our lives, praise so much does that for me anyway.
Absolutely.
When I praise God, when I'm in the middle of stuff, and darkness especially has helped push that back in my life.
Yes.
For you too, I'm sure.
Yeah, and for me too, just spending time worshiping God on days when I don't feel like praising, really looking around and try to think of things that I am thankful for. I mean, remembering is a practice we talk about, going back and just reminding myself of all the times that God has been faithful, both to me and, again, in His Word, right? We've got this whole book of stories of all the times that God has been faithful in His Word. And then on top of that, we have the testimonies of so many believers that have gone before us and have these stories of faithfulness. You both have stories of God's faithfulness. Yeah. I have stories of God's faithfulness. And I have stories that nobody even knows, right? That are just for me and Him, of times that He met me. And remembering those things allow me to believe again that, God, You've been faithful before and You will be faithful again. And so when when my outward circumstance right now doesn't look good, when I don't feel like I have anything right now today to thank you for or praise you for, I remember the cross that is always worthy of praise. And I remember so many times when God has been so personal and met me and provided for me and provided for my family and healed and done amazing things in my family. And that gives me this confidence that no matter what is scary, no matter what is unknown, no matter what we face, God is going to carry us through. We have proof of it.
Yes, we do.
You keep using this word praise. I'm a little just curious about that because we kind of have this connotation today's society, and I love music. I know Tammy's a singer, right? We think of praise as, okay, what does your praise look like? I'm just curious. Is it singing
or is it
different?
It looks like all different things. I mean, sometimes it's singing. A lot of times I love praise music. I love worship music because sometimes I feel like I don't have the words to pray, right? And so I need scripture or I need to borrow words from somebody else. I need somebody else to sing those words over me. And I turn worship music on in my house a lot. But I think praise can also be thanksgiving. Just making a list and giving thanks to God in prayer. That just even one full minute of listing things that I am thankful for can totally shift my heart posture. I am so quick to believe the lies of the enemy that I lack, that I don't have enough, that God hasn't given me what I need. And just a few minutes of praising God, of listing out things that I'm thankful for can totally shift my heart. Mm-hmm. And then I talk in the book even about this idea of lament, which is a form of worshiping God that we see in the Old Testament and we see in the scriptures that I think we've really kind of gone away from in the church today. I think we think of praising as a form of worship, and that has a really joyful, a really happy, a really thankful connotation. But when we dig into some of the Old Testament prophets, when we dig into the Psalms, we see David like bringing his honest heart cry to the Lord. He says, "How long, O Lord, am I going to feel like you've abandoned me?" And my temptation is to read something like that and kind of go, David, I don't know if you're allowed to say that to God, right? But David is unfazed, and God calls him a man after his own heart. And I think maybe David's a man after God's own heart because he's bringing all of his heart to God honestly.
That is so important.
Yeah.
Because when we talk about praise, it's easy for me to go, Lord, thank you that, you know, none of my kids are in jail. Thank you that my parents are alive. Thank you that my health is good.
Amen.
And the problem with that being the end of it is that when your health breaks down, when you lose a loved one, when your child is addicted or in jail or struggling with their identity or something, you don't know where to go. Because what am I going to praise there, right?
Yeah.
The lament is it's the missing part of that.
Yeah. And when we spend time bringing our honest emotions to God, we get to see a different side of his heart for us. We get to see a different part of his character. When we can come to him and say, I'm sad and I'm disappointed and God, I don't see you in this. And it kind of looks like things are falling apart and I don't know what you're doing here. And David says over and over in the Psalms, and yet, oh, my soul, praise him.
Amen.
And yet I put my hope in him. And as we come to the Lord and we speak to him honestly, we get to experience him as our loving, kind, compassionate Father. We get to see and know that there is no pain or suffering on this earth that Jesus didn't intimately know. He knew the betrayal of his closest people. He knew what it was to be slandered and spoken about, just defamed. He knew what it was to have his friends and family walk away from him. Any suffering that we experience has already been experienced by Jesus. And as we bring our emotions to him, we get to experience his character and his compassion. And that gives us something to praise him for. We can't praise him that our kid is in prison. We can't praise him that our parents are suffering. We can't praise him for the loss of our loved one, but we can praise him for who he is, yes, and his unchanging character in the
Absolutely.
Midst of that sorrow.
So yes, it's so good. And knowing that we're not alone in that pain.
Yes.
You know, I think if we thought that we were having to go through this, the hardships, or my mom fighting cancer, any of that, it's kind of to think that you're alone, I think just really makes you feel isolated. But to know that Jesus is in every detail of your life, that there's nothing he's overlooked, there's nothing he's unaware of, and he feels it with you and is there with you, I think there is something in that to go, I don't like this. It hurts. I don't like where I'm at. I don't like what I have to navigate through right now, but I know that I'm not alone in this.
Yeah.
Never is there a time when Jesus is not speaking. Never is there a time when Jesus is not present, and he's present in this with me now. And I think in that, there's some kind of settling of your soul.
Yes.
This is a roadblock, I think, for a lot of us who want to find that peace, and that is unforgiveness. And you don't just say, yeah, we should forgive people. You say we should embrace forgiveness. That sounds a little too friendly with forgiveness. It's like, forgiveness is something I can tolerate in my life. I don't know that I want to embrace it. That's tough for a lot of people.
Yeah. You know what is so interesting is I had this book completely written. It was ready to go. There were only 9 practices, and I went on a hike and was talking to Jesus and felt that he laid it on my heart that this has to be a part of this, that there's so much hurt and so much unforgiveness. And when we hold on to that unforgiveness, it makes us unable to truly receive the forgiveness that Jesus has given us. And it makes us unable to live in right relationship with other people. And we cannot have the peace of God and experience it deeply when we have unforgiveness in our lives. And so I talk about what it looks like to forgive ourselves, because that's been a big one for me, especially as a parent. You know, you're always looking back. I hope I'm not the only one, right?
No,
I could have done that differently. You know, forgiving myself for past mistakes and then asking for forgiveness from people that I love, that I know I've hurt. And then when people have hurt me, giving forgiveness to them because I have been forgiven so much by my Heavenly Father.
No, I'm just sitting here thinking you gave your life to overseas mission work and you adopted 13 children. You're like the perfect, but yet
there's
this
plenty
still,
of mistakes in there.
I just don't write
books about all of them.
We have to
really take hold of that. And that's a hard one. I think that's one we can't do on our own. And I think that's why we absolutely need God in the picture.
Yeah. Absolutely. And all of this is going back to, right, the bringing our honest emotions and the leaning on him so that he can enable our forgiveness. It all goes back to that spending time with him in prayer and cultivating this friendship so that we truly know we are never walking through anything alone. Right. He's with us in it.
Absolutely. And daily, every day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people think, forgiveness, I haven't gotten there yet. Well, I'm exhausted. I keep trying and it's not there yet. I think it's a daily thing. And I think in some people's life, depending on what they have to forgive, sometimes I think it's like, I got to wake up every morning in God's word, in the presence of God, talking to Jesus, and I got to lay these things down and keep confessing that I'm forgiving and that I'm moving forward. And that, you know, so I think sometimes people miraculously, I'm over that and it has no hold on my life, but others have to daily come and bring it before the Lord.
Absolutely.
We're not going to get through all these. There's
That's
more good.
Okay.
There's more good things in here. And so I want you to watch something in a second. And it touches on one point that we didn't get to, and that's the idea of service. And I want you to speak on that real quick. But request Safe All Along today when you help with the outreach, which is a form of service. And I know that's a big one to you.
Yeah.
How has serving others helped with your anxiety?
Well, I mean, I think when we are focused on serving others in the way that Jesus calls us to, even just for a moment, we have taken our eyes off of ourselves and we are focusing on meeting the need of someone else. And so much of my anxiety comes from when I am focused on myself, my problem, my hardship. And in order to serve someone else, I can't be thinking about both.
That's true.
When I'm serving you, I'm thinking about your comfort. I'm thinking about your joy. I'm thinking about how you are going to know Jesus. And so that just, that shifts my mind. It gives me this different perspective, and I feel so aligned with Jesus when I am serving people the way he has called me to, that I find that I don't feel anxious about my own struggles anymore.
That's good.
That's good.
We've got an opportunity for you to do that. Watch this, and we'll tell you how maybe you can find a little relief from your anxiety by helping with the needs of others. Watch this.
Yeah, Jeannie, I wanted to show you where this village collects their water. It's just, it's incredible. Look. It's only a couple inches deep, just a few inches deep, and you can't even see the bottom.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is an area that last year had a cholera outbreak, okay? And over 20 people got killed, died from cholera.
Cholera is an intestinal infection caused by ingestion of food or water contaminated with the cholera bacterium, and it can kill a person within hours.
I lost my child because of the cholera. We faced this disease here because of the unclean water.
Rural villages in African countries like Burundi often have no access to clean water. And when animals and people share a dirty water supply, a cholera outbreak can be imminent.
We lost many persons. We're always burying people.
Cholera still remains a global threat, especially in the world's poorest countries. Over a billion people are at risk, and children under 5 years old account for more than half of the global incidences and deaths.
Kids and people should not be drinking this dirty water at all.
Disease, pollutants of all kinds then come into this water, and it's just flowing all through this whole valley, isn't
it? All through the whole valley.
And this is it for them.
And they desperately, desperately need clean water. We have to have wells. We have to.
You know, the words that stuck out the most to me in this piece were, we are always burying people. Cholera comes in within hours and takes a life. When we talk about the urgency, and you hear that maybe every day from us, and you think, oh, I keep hearing the same thing, but I'm telling you, we never get tired of bringing it to you, because the urgency is very real. We're always burying people. Could you even imagine speaking those words about your friends or your family or your community right now? I can't. But to these people in these villages, that's a very real reality. So what will it take to change that kind of language? It honestly takes something so simple: clean water. Get them away from that water source that is bringing them death, and bring them life. Life-giving water that would change everything forever. We are committed to 350 wells over 20 nations. $48 will give water to 10. $144 will give water to 30. $4,800 will drill an entire well that will provide water for an entire village of about 1,000 people that'll last in their lifetime. So it's not a lot that we're asking. It might be a lot individually. So we're asking, well, let's come together. Let's do this together. Randy, I know we talk about that a lot, doing things together, because I think it changes something when we partner with other believers to do things together, to tackle something so tough that might seem so big, but together, it's not so enormous, and we can actually make a difference.
Well, and you're right, because we've seen this. You've seen this over the years, right? As you've been out, we've both been out into places where the water is polluted, where it's scarce, where it's the only option for people. And we have also seen what happens when we go in, and that fresh water that's oftentimes hundreds of feet deep, when it comes out, boy, the look of joy.
Yes.
And the reason they're so joyful is because they know that it's life.
Yes.
Because they've all lost a loved one to cholera or some other waterborne disease. And so this is why this is big to us.
Yeah.
This is why we've been doing it for so many years, and why we will continue as long as there is a need. And the need is great. How do you handle something so big? Well, it's one at a time. It's one small gift at a time. It's one $48 gift that gives fresh, clean water to 10 people, one $144 gift, one $4,800 well. Mm-hmm. It's one person, you, working with us here, with our teams on the ground, that goes in and it changes the life of one person. Mm-hmm. It saves the life of a young one. Yeah. This is the beauty of doing it. And by the way, we always do it with the gospel. We demonstrate Amen. The gospel in word and deed. And this is what separates us from many people that are doing a wonderful work of providing clean water. We go and we say, here is water for life. Water that will bring life, water that will last most of your lifetimes. But we also say there's also another water of life, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. What more powerful witness is there than to provide people with their basic needs? And so, Tammy, I'm excited. I want everybody to go online, yes, to go please, to the phone yes. and say, yes, yes, I want to be a part of giving the water of life Amen. In Christ while we give water to these people that are mm-hmm. suffering. Will you do it? Will you go right now online, go to the phones, whichever you're most comfortable with, make the best gift you can. Do it today.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease. And nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the Life Prayer Journal, complete with customized art, scripture verses, and inspirational quotes from Life Today hosts and co-hosts. You'll find plenty of room to write down prayer requests, answered prayers, and your own personal reflections as you spend time with God. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Blessed Cutting Board, a beautiful addition to your kitchen and preparation area. This pine wood cutting board is custom engraved with the word blessed as a reminder of the daily provision of God in your life. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our colorful bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Please do go to the phone or go online. Make the best gift you can. We can give them a choice of life and a place of death, but it's only possible because of you. When you do that, Tammy, we've got a wonderful book for them.
Yes, with any amount that you give today, we want to send you this book, Safe All Along, so make sure you request that. Katie, we love you. We appreciate you.
Thank
it's been
you.
So fun talking to you for 2 days in a row.
Yeah,
how fun
so
is that?
Fun.
And listen, I promise you, if you read the last paragraph of this book, you're going to want to read the entire book. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for watching Life Today. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
See you.
God created the world with a word. And so when He speaks, you can stand on that and it changes you. And it did me.
Recording artist Tasha Layton, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.